Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 92.9 A Game. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Allie Mack live here from Echo Park Speedway in a fifth wheel. No big deal. Having a lot of fun here on the infield. Make sure you guys go to echoparkspeedway.com to get your tickets because it looks like they're flying off the shelves. We are pleased to welcome America's crew chief, Mr. Larry McReynolds, NASCAR analyst for TNT. Now you guys will be doing the Altcast this weekend, which I think is awesome. I think we just got done talking about streaming platforms a little bit, Larry. I'll bring you in on this note. So stoked about what happened with Amazon Prime and obviously now handing it over to TNT. It's got to be a lot of fun. Tell us a little bit about the Altcast that you guys will be doing this weekend before we go down memory lane with you, obviously.
Well, first and foremost, thanks for having me.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For bringing it back from commercial break with a little AC/DC.
That's right.
That's one of my favorite groups. But, I've been with NASCAR on Fox for 25 years. Next year I'll be 26. We'll, of course, be back down here at Echo Park Speedway for the first race of the year, normally the second race of the season. But to be back with the Turner folks, I worked with them from 8 years, from 2007 to 2014 when they were last in NASCAR, and they had that six-race summer series. And now they're back with these five races, and they're going to cover the next 5 weeks starting here at Echo Park Speedway all the way through the Brickyard at Indy. But they decided to do something a little different, try something different, something that's not been done in NASCAR. Jeff Burton and myself, we're going to be doing an Altcast, and it's a lot like the Manning Altcast for Monday Night Football. We're going to be in the Turner True TV studios in Uptown Atlanta, and we're just going to have fun. You know, the timing is really good, and again, we'll be on at the same time as the race broadcast, but we'll be on True TV. But the timing is really good because of this in-season challenge.
Yes, sir.
That's what's going to be a big focus of ours on this Altcast. Of course, starts right here tomorrow night with 32 teams, 16 matchups, and it's single elimination, bracket style. And by the time we get to Indy, the Brickyard 400, it'll be one driver and one team versus another driver and a team. And if you win, it's $1 million. If you lose, you get a participation trophy.
I'm glad you brought this up because we've had, obviously, the pleasure of having a couple drivers on over the last couple of weeks just building up to this race. And we, you know, I think everybody heard from Chase Elliott, which is he's obviously very popular here in the state of Georgia, that he wasn't that focused on the bracket challenge. It's one of those things. He's like, I can't try any harder to win a race. And then we talked to Chase Briscoe just a couple of days ago, and he kind of laughed at it. He goes, man, as soon as the race was over that decided the seeding, I was like, I want to know exactly who I'm matched up against, not only in round one, but throughout all five rounds. Who would I be matched up against? Obviously, you've been in the chair as a crew chief for a number of races and obviously dealt with a number of situations. Nothing quite like this, I don't think. As a crew chief, do you think you would put any focus on the in-season challenge? Would you say, hey, just so you know, Allmendinger is five spots back. That's who you're matched up with this week.
Yeah, I actually talked to James Small, Chase Briscoe's crew
yes,
chief,
sir.
This week about that very thing. And he said, you know, if we do our job and we win the race, it kind of takes care of itself. But he said, yeah, if we get in the late stages of this race here Saturday night at Echo Park Speedway and – the guy we're up against is like four car lengths in front or four car lengths behind. I'm going to make Chase aware of it.
That's awesome.
I heard Joey Logano this morning on an interview, and he made some interesting comments about it. He said, we can't take our eye off the big ball. The big ball is trying to win the race, trying to score more playoff points, trying to get higher in the regular season. But he said, if it's late in the race and we have a late race caution, it could affect – Paul Wolf, his crew chief strategy. He said it might affect what lane I choose, depending
wow.
on how close the guy I'm racing against is. So it's on their mind.
That's awesome.
If they tell you it's not on their mind, it's a flipping
$1 million. That's what Chase Briscoe
said. On their mind.
Chase Briscoe said the same thing.
Yeah, Ross Chastain was pretty stern in that too. Like, you know, you know things that are going on. Larry McReynolds is joining us here on the morning shift. I got some questions about the good old days for you. But first, this
just
track,
for the record, I never worked on a car that ran on the beach. I hadn't been near that long.
I know. So I really wanted to talk about the change in this track here at Echo Park Speedway. because it used to be the typical mile and a half. It was super fast. I remember it was one of the fastest tracks on the Speedway. Now it's still fast, but it's just the pack racing has brought it back. But a lot of the drivers talk about the handling still being a real thing here.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a big factor tomorrow night. Even though it's a night race, it's still going to be warm. The track temperature is going to be up. And when we first came here in 2022 for the reconfiguration of the brand new asphalt, place had so much grip. I never even heard the word handling. And it was almost the case when we came back for the second race in the summertime. But it's almost like year two and last year, you started hearing more and more about it. And I go back to February. We saw a lot of comers and goers when the race started. Remember, we don't have any practice here. They unload them. They go through inspection. They drop the hammer and qualify them this afternoon, and they race tomorrow night. There's no practice. And if you go back to February, Fords dominated qualifying. 9 of the top 10 was Fords. Fords combined led almost 200 laps. But when it got down to the end and things started really ramping up, they got in trouble because their cars wasn't handling as good. They had speed built into cars. And there was only one Ford that finished inside the top 10, and that was Ryan Blaney. So I would be willing to bet that the philosophy and the approach is going to be a little different, because you never want to give up speed, but you don't want to give up handling either. And the speed is on the straightaways and the handling's in the corner. And I think everybody knows now, year four, the eighth race on this new configuration in this asphalt, that probably the driver that goes to victory lane tomorrow night, he's going to say, my car drove good all night long.
You know, I think we all grew up NASCAR fans, grew up with a driver. So I grew up in that three car, right, was the car. And so then I went on to the 8 and the 88. But then, you know, Doug over there was a 28 guy. And you worked on both of those crews. You were the crew chief. That was the first time I heard your name, was when you took over for senior as the crew chief. But you worked with Davey Allison as well. What was it worth? Like, what were the differences in how those guys handled things?
Yeah, I mean, both amazing race car drivers. And I feel very blessed and very fortunate to say that I worked with both of them. Feel very blessed and fortunate to be able to say I won a Daytona 500 with each of them, but two completely different individuals. Davey was really smart about his race car, and I think it was a lot because of the way Bobby and Judy Allison raised him. They made him work on his race cars. They made him repair his race cars and build his race cars. And other than maybe engine, Davey knew everything about that race car. He actually made my job pretty easy, because he would tell me what the car was doing, and then he had a pretty good idea of what we needed to address to maybe make it drive a little better or go a little bit faster. Earnhardt could care less. He didn't care if you put the front springs in the rear and the rear springs in the front. Just make me go faster and let's try to win this race. He thought he knew a lot about the race car. He knew enough just to get him in trouble sometimes. So two great race car drivers, two Hall of Famers that I was blessed to work with, but very, very different driving styles and very, very different approaches.
Hanging out with Larry McReynolds, America's crew chief, as he's lovingly known, part of the TNT broadcast that'll start this weekend here at Echo Park Speedway. And I do want to talk a little bit about the history of this racetrack as well. I mean, we all know that, you know, it's been newly dubbed Echo Park Speedway just about a month ago. It was Atlanta Motor Speedway before that, Atlanta International Raceway, I believe, before that. What was your memories here at this track? And obviously, I'm sure you had a ton of them with all the races that have been run and all the ones that you were crew chiefing for, but this is such a unique place, and it has so much history that I think a lot of people in Atlanta love coming down here and love kind of reliving some of those memories.
Yeah, I mean, my first full year in NASCAR was 1981, so obviously we were running here twice a year, and that's when it was the true oval. Right. The back stretch was the front stretch.
Yep.
It was a symmetrical racetrack. Front stretch is now really about where pit road's at. That's where the back stretch was. And of course in 1997 they flopped it. They kind of gave it that Speedway Motorsports look with the double dog leg on the front straightaway. And you talking about bad fast when they reconfigured it and they put that new asphalt down. I mean, Jeff Bodine, I think, sat on the pole and he ran around this place absolutely wide open. And as time went along and the racetrack started losing grip, We had some really good races here. And then I think it got so worn out, we wasn't really having good races, but we would mess around and have good finishes.
Right.
And I think that's what finally the conclusion was when Marcus Smith and everybody decided, you know what, heading into 2022. We're going to go out on the thin end of the small branch of the tree. We're going to put the banking just about 2 or 3 degrees less than what Daytona and Talladega is. We're going to put a new surface down on it, and let's see how it is. And I'm telling you, they absolutely, in my book, they knocked it out of the park. Because even here, 4 years into it, I mean, a mile and a half racetrack, when we were here in February, we had 50 lead changes. In a 400-mile race on a mile and a half racetrack, I think in the five or six races that we've run here, seven races now on this configuration, I think we've had a last lap pass either 4 or 5 times for the win. And I mean, that finish February of last year, we'll be talking about that finish for years and years and years to come. Not two drivers, but three sitting there just right on top of each other in a photo finish.
Yeah, I still remember.
We were here.
Yep. I remember Labonte Earnhardt years ago, that finish. I think it was 2000.
2000, yeah.
Yeah. And to your point, just that's exactly what we're going to think about that three wide. I got like 50 questions I want to ask.
I was going to say.
And they're all in the queue. And I don't know where I want to go, because I want to ask about, you know, the actual racing stuff. I want to ask about the sport. But one thing that I've we had this conversation on our fantasy group chat, and a lot of guys are coming down to this race with us. But the face of NASCAR when Senior Pass became Dale Jr. He was kind of thrust into it, and everybody, it felt like the entire world of NASCAR dropped on his shoulders. And look, he got in a couple years and he struggled. He struggled on the track. You heard things on and off the track about how he was acting, but he has wholeheartedly become one of the biggest ambassadors of the sport. Is it surprising for you how his post-racing career is gone?
It truly has. I think even though he was most popular driver year after year after year when he was driving a race car, I think he's putting a much bigger mark on the sport now today. Is owner of Junior Motorsports, is a broadcaster, which he does a phenomenal job. He truly cares about the sport. And, you know, it doesn't matter what Dale Earnhardt Jr. does, he is all in. I mean, we had our first big production call for the races this weekend, and Dale Jr. took control of the call. You know, he started throwing things out there. You know, guys and girls, we need to really think about this. He doesn't just mail this stuff in. I mean, I even go back to the crew chief role he played at Pocono, and oh, by the way, he's batting 1,000 as a crew chief in Xfinity Series for Connor Zilich. I mean, he was all in on that deal.
Yeah.
He walked in that garage area on Friday morning when his guys walked in. He was right there. But that's classic Dale Earnhardt Jr. Whatever he does, he is fully engaged. He is all in. And that's what he's doing, I think, as far as really a great ambassador for our sport right now.
Well, Larry, obviously I speak for Bo when I say we could probably keep you for 2 hours and have these conversations. I can't let you go without giving you a Roll Tide. We are in the state of Georgia, and people aren't going to like it, but I got to give you a Roll Tide. Larry was actually at the national title game, where Bo likes to point out the fact that I was the captain of that team, but not the captain of this show. So,
I don't have a lot that goes on in my life. I have my family, I have God, I have NASCAR, and then I have my Crimson Tide. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, and we don't have a lot in Alabama.
That's right.
We have Talladega and we have Tuscaloosa. Auburn's close enough to the state line. We just let Georgia claim Auburn. And so when you're born in the state of Alabama, they stamp two things on your birth certificate, male, female, Alabama, Auburn.
That's right.
I got the male. I got the Alabama part, too.
Well, some people in this room are Alabama fans and have Auburn students in their household. I don't want to point people out.
Yeah. We do have to go to break, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been such a pleasure. And obviously, we're huge fans, so we look forward to the off-cast.
Really do appreciate it. I know they've got a few tickets left for tomorrow night, but I promise you, come out here to Echo Park Speedway. You will not be disappointed. Maybe you're a brand new fan, a little bit curious. You couldn't pick a better track, a better race to come to than right here tomorrow night. Once again, a mile and a half racetrack, 400 miles. 50 lead changes back in February. Remember, they only monitored at the start-finish line.
Right, I was going to say.
There's no telling how many true lead changes there were. Yeah.
There you have it. America's crew chief, Larry McReynolds, joining us here on the morning shift. It's the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart down here at Echo Park Speedway. We got to go to break. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Life is Quick. It'll be coming up in just 1 minute. You got anything you want to throw out there for that?
Well, we're just going to update the tailgate at home. We got a pork butt over there, and it's rolling. Next on the morning shift, Sports Radio 99 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports. Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. You've got Mike, Bo, Ali Mac, and Dylan this morning at 8:25. We're live from the infield of Echo Park Speedway ahead of the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. We are doing things big this weekend, and the professionalism has gone out the window because I just watched Bo shove a donut in his mouth, like, as we're coming back from break, and I'm like, what is happening?
Toes out. Donut stuffing.
But, bro, I mean, it's
but
it's,
I'm wearing shoes now, yeah. So I put them on for Larry Mack.
And it's just radio magic, Allie. He's like, oh, you know what? I have to actually talk into the microphone. Let me go ahead and just chew this thing down.
No.
And air this donut down.
And yeah. I mentioned something. I said, you just put a donut in your mouth 30 seconds before we're going back on air. And he doubled down, Dylan.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
put a second piece of donut in his mouth.
Wow. Bo's out here getting bold, man.
I know.
Yeah, you let him out the studio. Ain't no telling what he's going to do.
You know, that's why I think they keep me in the studio so much, to be honest with you. You know what's funny is you go from being the person that has to keep people in control in remotes, like, you know, my relationship with Mike Bell my entire career, and now I'm the problem. It's like, what happened?
I do want to say a major thanks to Campers Inn for the hookup on the accommodations all weekend. Make sure to get your tickets for the race because it's going to be packed. EchoParkSpeedway.com. Guys, I don't know all the etiquette around here. It is early, but does the it's 5 o'clock somewhere rule like apply right now? Are you guys going to crack a cold one at 9 a.m.?
Yes.
On-site producer Doug just got so starstruck that he couldn't get a word out to Larry McReynolds. And then for the first time in 30 minutes after Larry left, Doug goes, going to crack a beer.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, was it that good for you? Just sitting there listening, it was that good.
I guess
good.
That's
like,
the equivalent of, I mean, the only other thing he could have said is I'm a fire for Marlboro Red. I mean, what's happening over there? It was funny. But what's funny is I've gotten to know our on-site remote engineer that I've dubbed him, Doug, and he's a talkative guy. He's not shy, but boy, he was very shy there, a little hesitant.
Yeah,
I like seeing that because it's cool when you meet people that you run. Because Doug grew up, you know, in the same area as Larry Mack, and yeah. So racing was big. But yeah, it's the Campers Inn rig is, as you know, Allie, I can't tell you enough how great of a rig we're all standing in here. It's and there's still plastic on some of this stuff. I'm not sure I'm supposed to be in here, actually.
Well, we are going to get a check-in on the tailgate at home. Doug has been tending to the pork butt all morning, so we got to get a check of that. But before we do, let's talk about the Braves one more time. They did lose 4-0 to the Mets last night. They split the series. Mike, I love what you said yesterday about the offense being anemic. It's just the perfect word for what we are watching right now. It's incredibly frustrating to see our team, our Braves, only get 3 hits against the Mets last night.
Yeah, and look, I think this is just previewing a little bit of what we'll see this weekend. I think this is I don't even know if pivotal is a big enough word for this 3-game set against the Phillies. It feels like a do or die series. Like, you have to take 2 out of 3. You're at home. Obviously, your back is against the wall. If the Phillies are able to take 2 out of 3 on your turf, and obviously they just got swept by the Astros, so you know, they're in a position to be, you know, hopefully lose some games. But it's pivotal, to say the least. And I think that this offense being anemic, and Grant mentioned it when we talked to him just a little while ago, it's like, you can deal with one, you can deal with two. There's 4 spots in this lineup right now that are anemic. And then the other guys are just hit or miss at times in these games. And we talk about it last night's game, no walks, 3 hits. And it's not like you were getting dominated by one pitcher. You obviously, Griffin Canning, unfortunately, has to leave the game in the 3rd inning. You get to the bullpen, and the bullpen dominates you. And it's just, I don't even have words anymore. I really don't. I keep trying to explain it, and I keep trying to, you know, put an understanding around what the Braves are, and it continues to make no sense for me.
It's a bullpen that you've hit well too. It's not like you've had good at bats at. You've been able to, and you know, you've played them 7 out of your last 10 games, and in those other 6 games, you've drawn walks with good at bats. You've been able to work it. So it's very frustrating. Maybe it was just one of those, hey, you know what? The offense has actually been pretty decent lately. And then, boom, bad game. You said it, though, with the Phillies coming in here. They've lost three in a row, and they're 5-5 in their last 10. If you remember, the Mets came to Truist to start this 13-game stretch you have on, I think, a three-game losing streak.
Yeah.
And the Braves made it 6. So it takes that mindset. Look, this is a Bryce Harper-less Phillies team right now. That's, and I know it's just one player, but that's their version of Ronald Acuna,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
He's not the same, but you can be for sure that the dude has he has that pop in his bat, and he has that energy. And that's very important to remember. So go take advantage of this. I need Bryce from San Francisco, and then I need Schwelly and Strider to do what they do. I need that heat from Strider, and I need Schwellenbach with that 6-7 pitch combination that he has, and then every once in a while tick up to that 99. I'd love to see Schwarber just have an offer and have like 9.
Wouldn't that be nice? Like swings so hard he spins himself into the ground.
Because
you know why?
Because I like him because I respect what he's done. He's like, I'm good at one thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna do that. And it's like, I've always hated the playoffs or bust thing. What does that mean, playoffs or bust? Are you gonna fire everybody? No. But Schwarber is home run or bust because it's either strikeout or home run.
Yeah.
And he does a good job. I think he's got in his 20s now.
Yeah.
So he's done a good job at it. But you should win this series. But you really, really could do yourself a favor with a sweep.
We will see what happens. Bryce Elder is on the mound tonight. Now, I know we got to get a check of the tailgate at home, but is this technically a life of Squid or is it a life of Doug?
I'm holding in my hand a bottle of Baron Burton's W sauce. And the reason is because, you know, I wanted Allie, as her first time doing the NASCAR weekend with us, right? And I just wanted to show her that, hey, see, I have my W sauce here. We're using it. I put it all over my butt last night and
pause.
When I was prepping it. And Doug has been our he's been running our grill for us.
He's our grill correspondent. Yeah.
You know, normally I'm running out during commercial breaks when I do tailgate at home, but not today. We've got Doug doing it. He is tending to my meat. And it's looking good. We've got I can't believe Mr. Yo, who's obviously a big member of Squid Nation and a big listener to this radio station, and he's all over the Twitters and he calls in every show. And he tweeted me the other day and said, "Hey, I appreciate you because I am now too on the I Can't Believe It's Not Butter Spray," which I got to give to my boy Big Jim Stancil, who's a caterer / pit master and has also catered a lot of the Falcon stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We all know him. He's a legend up there.
Yeah. And so he turned me onto that trick and I've just learned from everybody. But yeah, the meat is smelling so good. I love smelling the fires people have with their grills going. And this scene when I pulled in last night, and y'all probably. It was probably too dark earlier. You couldn't see. But when I pulled in last night, I saw something at Echo Park Speedway that I don't recall seeing in a little while. And that was campgrounds on the outside, not the infield, but the outside ones, already filled up on a Thursday. And, look, it's not completely full, but for a Thursday night.
Yes, I agree.
At 6:30 when I'm rolling in here.
I agree.
I was a little bit first I was taken back, and then I got excited because it brought me back to the good old days here, you know, back in the early 2000s, before the Car of Tomorrow, which did a number on the old track here, the old configuration with the tire combo. But man, it was just really cool. And they are if you want a ticket, you better go now and get it at EchoParkSpeedway.com for the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart, because there's not going to be a lot of room It's going to be probably sold out by the end of the day.
Maybe yeah, this is one of the best venues to watch a race at as well, because if you've never been here for a race, there you have like a bar top in front of you. Like every seat has its own like kind of table sitting in front of you to put your drink up on. And obviously, there's not a bad seat in the house with the action racing that goes on now. So I'm with you. Got to go right now to get those tickets, because as we talked to Tyler a minute ago and Larry Mack mentioned it, there's not very many left. So if you want to be in the house, if the weather forecast is keeping you away, all I can say is, you know that it's Georgia and it's June. It's probably going to rain for maybe 20 minutes and it's going to be out of here. And we are going to be racing on Saturday night, I promise you.
Well, Bo, you better have your professional shoes on right now, because in moments we could be seeing Ty Dillon, the driver of the number 10 car, walking in this RV. And we got to find out if he is as big of a Braves fan as his brother Austin. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
The Odyssey.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah.
And it is the best day. I love that imaging. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, Allie Mack, Dillon, of course, live from the infield of Echo Park Speedway ahead of the Quaker State 400, available at Walmart. Also, major thanks to Campers Inn for the accommodations. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. In a matter of moments, right now, we have Ty Dillon joining the morning shift, the driver of the number 10 car.
Yeah, the Campers Inn RV door just flung open, Allie, and obviously we're live down here at Echo Park Speedway. And Ty Dillon joining us, driver of the number 10 car. And look, man, this past February, your brother did this exact same thing and rolled into our RV. Now, it was probably 18 degrees outside, so a little bit of a different feel. But he too had that look on his face as the Campers Inn RV door opened up. Like, I don't know that I've ever done an interview in a fifth wheel, but here I am. So appreciate you joining us, man.
I love it, man. It's cool to be here. I love the setup. You guys are set up to have some fun this weekend. We were planning on being here a little earlier. Our flight ended up taking an hour and 50 minutes. Usually it's a 50-minute flight, but we circled around here. I think we've already got about 25 laps around the track, just above it a little higher, a little bit of fog this morning.
Yeah, well, look, man, you live over in the Charlotte area, so I'm assuming you know what the weather's been like in the southeast for here in Atlanta. It's been 20 minutes of rain every day and then clears up, and then it's been hot. It hasn't been too bad. So appreciate you so much hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Let's start with this track. Yeah. Let's start with Echo Park Speedway. Obviously, you've been on the circuit for years. You understand the history of this track. The next-gen car, everything that's going on with the reconfiguration here, it's a night race Saturday night, so it changes a little bit from what it was back in February, but your expectations for what we're going to see Saturday night?
It's going to be wild. It's going to be a great race and three-wide race, and I think some of the best finishes over the past couple years have come here at Atlanta Speedway. For me personally, this hasn't been a place where results have come easy since the repave. Before, this was probably my best track, one of my best tracks on the old surface. I won here in the Truck Series. Just always had a lot of confidence. I think I made my first Cup start ever here at Atlanta.
There you go.
So I've always had a lot of confidence, but the repave has been tricky for me. It's not that we haven't been fast or competitive. Just haven't finished one without being in a crash or being called up yet, really. So earlier this year, we had a flat tire that damaged our car and put us behind. And hopefully, with our head-to-head matchup and everything going on this weekend, all the excitement for that, we'll have a good solid finish and be able to run up front. This is one of these races that we can certainly get up there and win.
I love it.
You know, I don't mean to size the guy up, but you look a little bit bigger than Austin.
Looking straight,
I was like, okay, Austin was a little bit, felt more like looking eye to eye, and I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah,
I'm way the shorter guy.
I love it, man.
I'm a little bigger.
Ty Dillon, driver than up 10. Look, I want to ask about a difference between you've driven in every series and you've done well in them. What is the difference? Because we're nerds and we have iRacing stuff and we do the iRacing, and you can tell a difference when you get in different cars. But what is the difference of the handling of an Xfinity car with this new Cup car with the next gen?
Yeah, with the Xfinity car, that style of racing is kind of our old school racing, what we used to do when I was a rookie, my first 4 or 5 years in Cup before I went to this next gen car. It's more sliding around. You don't have as much locked in grip, but there's a little more forgiveness to the slide. You can yaw them out a little bit more. You can run them a little more on the edge and get away with it. But the overall grip feeling is less, and the overall speed sensation is a little less. Now, we might be carrying the same amount of miles per hour, but it just doesn't feel the same in those cars because you're not really stuck to the ground. Now, in the Xfinity or the next gen car in the Cup Series, the style has changed so much. All of us Cup drivers have had to adapt. And back in the day, the Xfinity and Cup cars felt exactly the same. Now they could be, they couldn't be any different. It's like playing hockey and playing football. It just doesn't even match up when you go back to try to run it. The grip is a lot higher to take off, but the edge is a lot shorter. So you can drive it on the edge, and these cars want to be driven on the edge. But once you get to that edge, the cliff is a massive drop off, and it's hard to save these cars. Where an Xfinity car, you can take it to that edge, but you might be able to slide and save. And there's a lot more forgiveness there. This thing, it is not forgiving at all if you make mistakes.
I do want to ask you about the in-season tournament in just a second, but before we get there, it was funny. We were talking to Ross Chastain the other day, and I asked him about what Shane Van Gisbergen thought about plate racing or draft racing or whatever you want to talk about. And he said the first comment that he got from SVG was like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah.
He's like, everybody knows you're probably going to wreck. And he was like, the crazy thing is you wreck and then everybody behind you probably knows you're going to wreck and they still drive into you. He's like, it's the craziest thing. So, and that broke into a conversation about Echo Park Speedway and the handling being different than here in Daytona and Talladega. So just walk us through that a little bit, because it looks like the track's graying up a little bit.
Yep.
It looks like the handling is going to be a big thing. We just had Larry McReynolds. He walked out right before you came in, and he was talking about the differences in the handling and the setups and everything else. So for people that aren't familiar and that are coming down here to Echo Park Speedway that maybe have seen a Daytona or a Talladega, handling seems to be imperative here.
Yeah, I think you look back to some of the old-school Daytona races in the summer, maybe in the heat, where there was a lot more. It's still drafting, but you can see the cars moving around. You actually see cars that perform better as the run goes on. We're all aware that the surface is going to wear here a little bit different than Daytona Talladega. It's a smaller track, so it's not going to be able to be wide open all the time. So we're also adapting. This is the first time we're going through this with a track at this size with this kind of super speedway style racing. But, you know, you throw – if it was midday tomorrow that we were racing, that would be one thing. But you get it under the lights. The darkness helps gain a little bit more grip. But it still will have less grip than we had here in the spring. So it's going to be adapting for all of us. We don't know what to expect. We expect that we're going to have some handling characteristics that need to be fixed. But you still got to have that raw speed factor. So it's going to be the balance is how much speed can you build in the race car and the driver still be able to handle it out there?
It's funny to listen to him say spring because we were here and it was 18 degrees outside.
Yeah. It wasn't
I don't know
spring.
How much spring it was.
I always split up our season. Like,
yeah, I know.
The first race is I just call it the spring race.
Yeah,
the second race I call it. There's no in-between.
Your brother walked in here with four layers on and you can see his breath when he walked inside.
I think about the difference, and you're talking about this track. This track is so different. This track's different than other super speedways. But then, like, last week you're at Pocono.
Yeah.
Right? And I want to go back to Pocono. How tricky, because every turn at Pocono is different. The tunnel turn is one where you can kind of don't even have to really – I mean, I don't know how it is for you guys. I'm sure y'all break a little bit, but you can almost just let off and kind of coast through and maybe throttle through it. But then the other ones, you're dropping gears and stuff.
Yeah.
How different is each turn at Pocono? Because that track is fast, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, apparently for our group it was difficult. Our Collard Racing team and RCR, our technical alliance groups there together, we just struggled. I think we probably had positions 20 through 25 locked down for that race, and unfortunately Kyle Busch spun out in front of me, and I got collected in that as well. But, you know, I think the tough part about Pocono is we all felt pretty good in turn one, but for our cars to feel good in turn one, they didn't feel great in turns two and three. And those are a little bit more similar, but you got the bump in two to navigate. I think three is probably the most important corner you want to focus on and try to be the strongest at. But like you said, you have to balance three totally different corners, and that's a very hard thing to do. And the guy who does it the best obviously wins. So it's probably the most unique challenge that we have across the board outside of just road course racing where you have all these different corners. But you know, Pocono has not been a great place for us in the past, and this past weekend wasn't something that we're real proud of, but everybody struggles there a little bit. It's just who can struggle the least.
Yeah, that track is tough, man.
Visiting with Ty Dillon, driver of the number 10 car, as we preview the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart down here at Echo Park Speedway, live from the fifth wheel. The camper's in fifth wheel, so beautiful rig. Shout out to them for hooking us up. I want to go back to the in-season tournament because we have talked to a number of drivers over the last couple of weeks, and I think you know, Jeff Gluck tweets out Chase Elliott's comment about, you know, I'm not really paying attention to it. I can't drive it any harder. I'm not trying to win anymore. We talked to Chase Briscoe a couple days after that, and Chase Briscoe just kind of laughed at it. He was like, dude, the minute the bracket came out, you know, I wanted to see it and see who I was matched up with and see the things throughout. What are your thoughts on the in-season tournament and the bracket challenge? And Larry was in here a minute ago. He's doing the altcast, the True TV altcast, and he's like, we're going to be focused on the bracket challenge. It's such a unique thing and something we've never seen in NASCAR.
Yeah, I think those who care about the sport and care about the future and getting fans involved doing fun stuff are excited, like myself. I think this is a really fun thing for us. I matched up against Denny. Unfortunately, we had probably our worst three races in a row for the seeding races. Which
I was laughing earlier because I have an SVG shirt on around. Like, he's not even in it. You know, he's not even in it. He won a race a couple of weeks ago. It's just all about the timing of the seeding.
Yep. So we're a 32nd seed against a one seed with Denny this weekend. But the way it works out is this Atlanta race, anything can happen.
It's perfect.
So if we can knock Denny out early here, get the number one seed out of our bracket, I think we go to a place like Chicago and Sonoma. Like, we were really good at the road courses and really good there in Mexico City. I think it's an opportunity for us to make it pretty far in this thing and move. But, you know, there's guys like Chase who doesn't really get excited about anything in our sport and doesn't really care about anything.
That.
And it's frustrating sometimes when you have a guy that's that popular, it doesn't really care. But, you know, I think a lot of us guys that care about the growth of our sport, this is a really exciting time for us, and doing it with TNT is going to be a cool deal.
It was interesting hearing it. I didn't even thought about it, but we brought it up to Larry, and he's like, you know, if you're a crew chief on a box and you're at a place like this and you're trying to make decisions on fuel and pit stop, and he's like, you're going to know, and you're probably going to tell your driver where his competitor is in the field, you know, in alignments and, you know, lining up inside, outside at the choose cone.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different dynamics at play there.
Well, I mean, you don't want to really think about this, but I've had friends come up to me like, hey, you know, it is $1 million if you win it. Would you just crash the guy you're against every week? And I'm like, you know, most times you laugh at
the old
that
chrome
off,
horn,
like,
if you will.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, $1 million is nice, you know? Like, you know, I don't think you want to do that because you get a long year and years ahead, hopefully. But, you know, it comes down to the last couple of races of this thing. $1 million is a lot, man.
It's a good amount of money.
You're going to see some exciting stuff. And I know if Denny's right one position in front of me on the last lap here, I'm going to do all I can to at least get him out of my way so I can get one more spot. You know? That'll be huge. And, and upsetting him in the first round would be big for
We'll save that cut for the investigation when NASCAR goes.
It would make me very, very happy if you upset him. But, look, it's just like, what's the difference in moving a guy out of the way to win a race?
Yeah.
You're just moving him out of the way to get one spot to win that $1 million. I want to go more to your personal life, and because, you know, Austin's in here, he's a big Braves fan. He has the PBR thing and stuff. Like, what are you getting into? Because I know you're getting into some stuff outside of the racing world.
Yeah, I have three kids. So I have a 7-year-old, 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
God bless you, man. I've got two, and it's a hurricane.
Yeah, we just flew them all down here. So it was we're exhausted already. We got up at 4 this morning to get everything going. But I'm a huge Braves fan as well. We actually just threw out the first pitch in the Reds game about a month or so back. Took my kids to the game. So Austin and I grew up going to Braves games. So we're big into that. But just right now, outside of racing, it's just be involved in my kids' life. My older two are starting to get into sports a little bit. So I'm a huge sports fanatic. Love the Braves, Panthers, Hornets, NBA draft was the other night, Hurricanes fan. So I'm all into different sports.
Calm down with that Panthers talk here, man. We don't do
Falcons
that.
Country.
I think we're set up for a couple fun years, Penix and Bryce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
And I like the way it started. So.
Your wife drove, right?
Yeah, she raced the little quarter midget cars growing up. Her and her family traveled all over the country. Her brothers were really into it. They ended up racing legend cars, and that's how her and I met. They drove from Washington State. That's where she's from. Came over for the summer shootout series up at Charlotte Motor Speedway. They have a similar series here in Atlanta.
Thursday Thunder.
The Thursday Thunder. But that's how our families met. Their family parked beside our family, and her and I, we didn't really connect then. We knew each other, but our families became really close, and that's how we
You ever get back to the hauler, and she's like, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that?
She's a pretty good support system. She doesn't beat me down. She's always picking me up. She's probably the best part of my career that's kept me going, and I always love having them around. So
Before we let you go, I do got to point out, because we made this a fun bit on the show about a month ago. I took my wife, Doug and I, we took our wives to the Coke 600, and we sold it to them by telling them we're going to a vineyard. We went to the Children's Vineyard.
Perfect.
We were like, hey, we're going over to Charlotte and going to a vineyard for the weekend. And then before they know it, we're out at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Coke 600 and able to enjoy that, man. Just such a cool thing. We went to the museum up there, obviously, at Childress Racing.
Sure.
And it's a cool deal. It's a cool family to be a part of, I'm sure.
And, I think that's
and you've seen a lot
promo.
Of stuff.
Every guy out there that wants to come out.
Exactly.
Charlotte, sell them on you're going to take your wives or your significant other to the Children's Vineyards. Yep. Come on, we'll set you up. We got some great wine there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's on Saturday. Friday, you tour the race shops, right?
I was going to say.
Well, they're actually only one exit apart. So you can.
They
you
are.
Know, the wives want to stay there and have some more wine. You can go
there
over
you go.
One exit down. It's about 5 minutes difference, and it's only about 35 minutes from the track. So
that's Ty Dillon, driver of the number 10 car, previewing the Quaker State 400 available at Walmart down here at Echo Park. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Good luck. Good luck not only in the race but in the bracket challenge. We'll be paying attention to you versus Denny, so it's gonna be a lot of
fun.
Nudge
Denny.
We parked our
me.
Bus right beside each other. Intimidation started.
Did the bus drivers? Did they keep inching
I
up?
I guess so. We roll in, and his bus is right there, and my. Like, I wanted to start the intimidation.
I love
here.
It.
I'm like, all
I
right, cool.
It,
let's do that.
That's great.
That's going to do it for us here on The Morning Shift. Thank you guys so much. You can find us on the socials at 929 Morning Shift. Obviously, the Steakhouse is next. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the race at 4 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Until then, make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.